as an introduction to the gospel principles that we find in today's readings, we can start with today's saint, Saint Polycarp. Part of the reason why Saint Polycarp is important, aside from the fact that he's an inspiring martyr, is that he's in the next generation. You know, the Lord entrusted the mission of the church to the apostles, and so there were the 12. Then there was Paul. We include him among the apostles. And then there were some people who were associated with the apostles, even in the scriptures. So you think of Barnabas, maybe, or Silas, or Silvanus, or Timothy. These are men who we know from scriptures. They're like the second generation, Timothy and Titus. And then you have some men who are not mentioned in the scriptures, but who knew the apostles and knew those who knew the apostles. They're the next generation. And that's where people like St. Ignatius of Antioch come in, or today's saint, St. Polycarp. And almost, or maybe all of these figures are all martyrs. So what we know about them is that they gained from the apostles and from the early church the greatness of the gospel, and they saw that it was so great that it was worth holding on to, being faithful to, even to the sacrifice of their life. So Polycarp is one of these. These martyrs and all the saints, they live by a different standard than the world. You might think of what we heard on Sunday. We were told that there is such a thing as a natural man and a spiritual man. There is the earthly standard and the heavenly standard. And then in Sunday's gospel, Jesus gave us all sorts of heavenly principles that contradict our earthly or our natural standards. So love your enemies is the most prominent one. Love your enemies, do good to those who hurt you, give to those who ask from you, do not judge, do not condemn, and all these. There was a whole bunch of principles in Sunday's gospel, which, because they are heavenly, are very encouraging to us, but at the same time, they're very challenging to us. So this encouragement and challenge is what we're reflecting on this week. And today's readings apply some of these principles in some practical ways. It's one thing to say, do not judge, and you will not be judged. But then you have to say, well, what does that mean? Well, how do you put that into practice? Well, that's what these readings do. So, in the Gospel, John judges someone who is driving out demons in Jesus' name. And Jesus corrects him and says, well, don't prevent him from doing something good. If they're not against us, they're for us. Now, Jesus is not saying, don't use any standard at all. Let people do whatever they want. Don't judge, meaning don't think anything. That's not what do not judge means. Do not judge does not mean we can't make any determination about what's right or wrong. That would be a short road to chaos. We have to figure out what's the right way, what's the wrong way to live, and we have to be able to determine whether other people are pursuing the right way or the wrong way. The problem with judgment, and this is why people say do not judge, they usually mean don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't impose your standard on me. And when people say that, often they're using their own standard to judge the person who they're accusing. So that's how it works. But this is where Jesus tells us what the standard should be for judgment. It's not that there's no standards, otherwise we couldn't do anything. But the standard should not simply be what we think, or what we, and is usually what we think is usually what we prefer. or what we find comfortable or familiar. And Jesus says, no, don't use yourself as the standard, use me as the standard. So John's complaint is that this man does not follow us. So you say, well, he doesn't belong to our company. He's not in the in-group. We don't know him, so we're not comfortable with him doing stuff like this. And Jesus says, well, that's too narrow. That is a wrong judgment. It's the wrong standard. Anyone who performs a mighty deed in my name, a mighty deed is biblical language for doing something good, is not working against me. So insofar as he's doing good, let him do good. It doesn't mean that we can't evaluate people who do evil, because Jesus says there is such a thing as speaking ill of me. Well, that's a standard, that's a judgment. But the principle is whoever is not against us is for us. So if someone's doing good, then that's to be accepted, to be welcomed. This is one of the basic principles for ecumenism and interreligious dialogue. We can find in people who don't belong to our church, who might not even belong to our religion, who are doing something good, and we can accept goodness wherever it is. It doesn't mean we accept everything that they say and everything they believe. We accept what's good, because the standard is not what we say, the standard is God himself, and Jesus is the standard. We see another practical application of the gospel principles in today's first reading. James actually is an expert at practical application, as we've seen all week. And whenever we read James, we say, oh, this man really knows how to live Christianity. He doesn't just preach it, he lives it. And he tells us, don't just listen to it, put it into practice. So here's his principle. Don't make plans as if you're going to be here forever. Don't make plans based only on your earthly perceptions and earthly standards. And the example he uses is the businessman or the investor who says, I'm going to go here or there, I'm going to do this and that, I'm going to make a profit in a year. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a plan, having a business plan, trying to make a profit. That's not the problem. The problem is the unspoken assumption that we'll be here next year. Well, that part we don't know. So we can't live as though we're in charge, absolutely in charge of our lives. That's why James says, better to say, if the Lord wills it, we'll do this or that. So it's a counsel to entrust ourselves to God and entrust our plans to God. That way, whether they turn out or not, is not going to be the determining factor for whether we're happy or not. We're entrusting ourselves to God and our plans to God, so whatever happens, we belong to God. If we die tomorrow and go to heaven, we're not going to complain because we didn't make a profit. We won't even think about that. So that's the perspective James gives. Now, James tacks on one little bit of advice at the end of the reading here. Seems like it's not connected. After saying, don't be arrogant and don't make plans as if you're in charge of your life when you're actually a puff of smoke. At the end, he says, one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it. So, for one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, it is a sin. This is a quick reminder to us of what we call the sins of omission. To know what is the right thing to do and not do it is a sin. Now, are we going to say James is being very judgmental? He's judging us for not doing what we should do? No, that's a right judgment, because knowing what we should do, that's what we know from God. That's not James' judgment on us or anyone else's. That's the standard that I mentioned before. The standard is God's will. And if we know God's will and we don't do it, that's where sin comes in. Because we're establishing our will, or we're making our will our natural standard, and we're judging ourselves according to our natural standard, that's a sin. The psalm response is the well-known first of the Beatitudes: blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of heaven is theirs. This is just to remind us of this reversal of values that we learn from the Beatitudes, this abandonment of earthly standards to embrace heavenly standards, by earthly or natural perspective, being poor is a bad thing. The heavenly standard is to recognize the great advantage of being poor in spirit, of being able to evaluate all our possessions and plans from God's viewpoint. Then we say, well, it's none of it is all that important, and we're not going to bring any of it with us, so let us use it for the glory of God and for the building up of his kingdom, for the good of his people. And then we'll have treasure in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. This is the way the early church lived, for sure. This is the way St. Polycarp lived. And all the martyrs and all the saints, they lived by a heavenly standard. And when we reflect on their lives, and we have their feast days, we're reminded of the great privilege it is to know the will of God and to do it.